Reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for Christ the King Sunday is from St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And there was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As I've said more than once today, this is Christ the King Sunday. It's not a very old festival, as festivals go, in the church. In fact, it dates back only to 1925 and was created by Pope Pius XI. You remember the 20s and 30s in Europe. They were anxious times. Communism was a new and menacing force in Russia. Fascism had grabbed a hold of Italy and Spain, and would soon swallow up Germany as well. And all of these new isms claimed total authority and supreme control over the world's destiny. These isms dared to claim lordship over the future. Christ the King Sunday stands against these claims and holds up Jesus, the Son of God, as the only Lord of heaven and earth. The festival became a declaration of Jesus Christ as King, past, present, and future. And no, although they were mighty, these other isms weren't ultimately in charge. Only Jesus was Lord. Christ the King was born as a festival for anxious times. Well, lots of things have changed since 1925, but many things have not changed. Certainly, anxiety has gone nowhere. Anxiety's grip on us feels stronger than ever. I don't think we even realize how much time and energy we spend trying to cope with anxiety in our lives and our world. And we've developed some fairly unique coping strategies, I think. I want to share with you a few of what I think are the most popular today. The first strategy is consumerism. Consumerism. Friday, I'm sure all of you know very well, was Black Friday. Not because it was a depressing day, although I'm sure some would argue that point. Rather, the day after Thanksgiving in the U.S. is the day when many businesses jump from the red to the black in their profit margins. And of course, we Canadians, being expert imitators as we are, good and bad, are now along for the ride. We preachers are quick to rail against the insane consumerism that possesses us, particularly this time of year. But there's more going on here than greed and selfishness and the pursuit of a good deal. What we don't realize is that consumerism is also a symptom of anxiety. What is consumerism if it is not, as one writer says, the deep and unexamined assumption that more of whatever will make us safer and happier and more secure. Consumerism. Another strategy we modern folks use to deal with anxiety is isolationism. It is easier now to be alone than it ever has been. Isn't that something? I read a cartoon a while ago, and it was, imagine an office with a bunch of cubicles and two people on a computer, on opposite sides of a computer desk. And in panel after panel, the one facing the computer tells his companion how he uses it to do all kinds of things, to telecommute to work, to get whatever information he needs from the internet, to find entertainment, to email his friends, and to even shop online. And during this whole conversation, he's been tapping away on the computer keys. And after remaining silent for all the other panels, the companion he's been talking to finally asks his friend what he is still looking for. And he responds, "I'm looking for a life. I'm looking for a life." How easy it is to be alone today. And that is exactly the last thing that anxious people in anxious times need, is to be isolated and alone and cut off from each other. But the lie is prevalent. The lie is persistent. You know what it is? Take care of yourself first. Store up, stock up, build higher and stronger walls around yourself. Need others as little as possible. Be as independent as you can, self-sufficient. And you know what? Anxiety will fade. Peace will come. It's like the parable about the farmer who builds bigger barns for his crop. Isolationism. Another strategy in anxious times is a phrase that I've coined that doesn't really work grammatically. There's no such a word as busyism, but I'll use it anyway. Busyism. The misguided belief that if we are constantly on the move and active and piled up with duties and commitments and appointments and workloads, then we will accomplish two things. The first thing is that we will amass a list of achievements that we think we can lean on. And secondly, we avoid thinking about this nagging anxiety in our world and our lives. There's simply no time for that, you see. There's no time. I remember reading about this new speed train in France that opened several years ago, and it went from Paris to Lyon. Someone interviewed passengers and asked them a simple question: what did you do with the time you saved? What did you do with the time you saved? But no one could give him an answer. Keep busy. Keep your head down. And try not to think about all those nagging fears and worries that pursue us. One more ism for today. Informationism. It's kind of like busyism. Hugh Mackay has noted that in this information age, information can actually keep us from thinking. Information can be used as a distraction from thinking. You know, as long as I keep absorbing all of this information, I won't have to make sense of it. Information can be an insulation from thinking. As long as I'm immersed in information, I don't have to confront what is actually going on around me. Information can be a source of constant stimulation to create the illusion that something is always happening. I'm never bored. There's always the TV, the internet, or the podcast, or whatever. Piles and piles and piles all around me. Endless places to find it. If I only gather enough and become truly informed, whatever that means, peace will come and my anxiety will disappear. Well, that's enough isms for now. My point is made. Anxiety walks with us. We all have our coping strategies. Some I've listed, some I have not. But there's one more I haven't mentioned, and this one might surprise you. It might startle you a little bit. One more strategy for some of us right under our noses, and that strategy is here, Sunday morning worship, believe it or not. What's that all about? For many of us, coming to church is just one more strategy in our game plan to deal with the anxiety in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with that, because Christ's invitation is always the same. Come. Just come. Come as you are. Come as who you are. Come. Some of us come with very clear needs and specific expectations from what happens here this morning. Some of us come hoping to meet Papa God or Mama God. You know the God I'm talking about. A God who will come and scoop you up in big, strong, secure arms, give you a big hug and say, "There, there, child. Everything's going to be all right. The bad guys won't get you. You've got nothing to be afraid of. I won't let anyone hurt you or make you cry. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right." Some of you come hoping to be recharged for the battle out there. You come hoping to meet God, who is the life coach, a spiritual advisor who will serve as a performance enhancer to get you through the next week as you continue to battle all those forces of anxiety that nip at your heels and threaten to overwhelm your heart. We have our strategies. What does the church offer you, brothers and sisters, you, all of us, bringers of all of our anxieties to this place and time? And what do you see before you when you come? The first thing, you see this cross. You see a cross, a giant cross in this place. And what do you hear proclaimed from our gospel reading today, Christ the King Sunday? You hear these words. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals. And there was also an inscription over him: "This is the King of the Jews." It seems that there is no peace, no relief even here, does it? Not at first glance, not at first hearing. But look and listen again. Look and listen closely, because again, what is anxiety? Anxiety is about fear of the future, specifically fear of death, fear of losing what is cherished, big deaths and smaller ones, fear of losing control, fear of losing our grip on our destiny, fear of losing our plans and our management of our lives, fear of losing the power to direct our paths. And we scramble for relief wherever we can get it. We look for someone to wipe away our tears, to calm our racing heart, to give us words of reassurance, to wipe our sweating brow, to help us take a deep breath and calm down. So we look for a Papa or a Mama God, or we look for a life coach, or we look for a wish granter, a God who will give us what we think we need. And so we come, and what do we get? What do we see each Sunday? Who do we meet each Sunday? Above all else, we meet God on a cross. And that's not a comforting sight, is it? That's not a reassuring sight. And we protest, this is exactly not what anxious me needs right now. But remember, the cross is not just another ism or a coping strategy for anxiety. Well, what is the cross then? The cross is God trying to get your attention. The cross is God calling out, "Looking for me? Here I am. Look no further. Look nowhere else. Here I am at the point, at the one place that you dread the most, at the one place where all your anxiety leads. I'm on the cross. Here I am. Living out your greatest nightmare, living out your greatest fear on the cross, I am enduring and suffering what you fear the most. Final death, complete and total." And from the cross, God in Christ is not trying to instruct you or teach you or even comfort you or inform you or educate you. From the cross, God is trying to do one thing: to slay and bury you so that you can rise with him. This day, right now, This is heavy stuff, you're right. But it is the heart of why we're here. It is the core of what we believe. It's why we have the cross at the center of this room. And as hard as these words are, I ask you these questions. Why settle for less? Why settle for merely a tear or two wiped away, or a pat on the back, or an hour of escape every Sunday, when you can be slain and buried and raised with Jesus again today? Because that's what today is really about. Whenever Jesus meets us, our King was crucified and buried and raised so that we can be crucified and buried and raised with him. Galatians 2:19 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And we know the only way to rise is to die first. And the cross does that. The cross shatters all of our feeble, temporary, ineffective anxiety management strategies and puts them to death. Because Christ on the cross knows the truth that what we need is to die and rise with him this day, even now. And so, fellow, beloved, little anxious ones, come. Come. Because you are in the right place. For here in this place, the word is spoken, the word is preached, the water is poured, the table is set, the promises are spoken for you. Has Christ your King gotten your attention yet? Be not afraid, he says. Come die with Jesus and rise with him once again this very day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.